we started to think very seriously about how we could define the third dimension. We could get an image in two dimensions, but it needed to do that. It needed really to have some sort of symmetry along the third axis. And obviously for a proper imaging technique, you really need to be able to look at a thin slice. So we started thinking hard and long about how you could define a slice. And when I say we, I mean Peter Grinnell, myself, and Alan Garraway, because by then we'd managed to convince him that there actually was something in imaging. So we worked together, and Alan had actually come up with a way of defining a slice using multiple pulse, a multiple pulse technique. And this was written up, and before it was published, Peter Grinnell and I had independently come up with two other ways of defining a slice. And we told this to Alan Garraway, and we were sharing the machine, you see, and Alan wanted the machine, the NMR machine, to do his slice selection. And then, you know, I said, well, we would like to have the machine for a few days to do our slice selection. And when we got our results and he got his results, we had a meeting of all three and decided between us maybe the sensible thing to do is to publish as a single paper, and which is what we did. And that paper, I think, was authored with, I believe Alan was the first author, Alan Garraway, Peter Grinnell, and myself. So that was the slice selection paper. Well, you had to switch in any of the imaging techniques, you had to switch the read gradient. So you're defining three axes, trying to anyway. So the first thing is to define a slice. So that's one axis. And there is also a gradient associated with that slice selection. And then having defined a slice of material, you then start to look at that decay that you've created, that free induction decay. You start to look at that in another gradient and then a third gradient. So you can define the image, thin slice, and then the two axes. And all the techniques work like that. They're not as fast as some of the techniques, but, you know, whichever way you look at it, whether it's a Fourier zeugmatography or whatever, they all have to define three slices. It wasn't too long before we were able to get rather nice line scan images. So we were taking a line at a time rather than a point at a time. And one of my students, actually the first, my very first student in imaging, was a chap called Andrew Maudsley, and he had started with me. I'm not exactly sure whether he started on imaging. I think he had actually, and during his second year or so, we had evolved to the point in our line scanning technique that I one day suggested that one of us should actually try to image our finger, because we had a very small coil and we could just about get a finger in. I was very concerned in those days that line scanning, which, you know, was faster than point scanning, but line scanning was still too slow. I mean, to get these finger images, it took something like about 10 or so minutes per image. And I felt that that was, you know, a little bit too, well, not a little bit, a lot too slow. I mean, I envisaged doing imaging much faster, but I couldn't see how to do it in those very early days. But then I had this sort of brainstorming session, which went on for weeks, I suppose, you know, where I was thinking how how we could improve the imaging and the imaging time. And of course, I knew that you could get a set of spin echoes. This is back to Erwin Hahn again. You could get a set of spin echoes if you put in pulses, a sequence of pulses very quickly, you could get a whole set of spin echoes. And I mean, that was common knowledge, of course, at the time. But the question is, could I use that in any way to produce a very rapid image? And the idea slowly occurred to me that maybe one could do something along those lines by applying, getting a set of spin echoes, and at the same time applying a gradient, encoding gradient along, so that as the spin system evolved, the first echo would evolve in a certain time in this gradient. The second echo would evolve a little bit further in the same gradient, the third echo. So it was a spin echo sequence, but with an additional gradient applied. And how could I bring this about? And I wrestled with this for weeks, actually. And the breakthrough came, actually, on my way home from lunch one day. And there used to be, well, there still is, actually, a route that goes around Beeston. And on that route round, I got held up at the traffic lights. And that's where it suddenly occurred to me, while I was waiting for the lights to go red, suddenly, you know, it came in a flash. It really did happen that way. It suddenly all came together. And that was it. It involved a little bit of mathematics. So I worked it out to my satisfaction. And shortly afterwards, when I'd done this, there was a conference convened by Raymond Andrew of all the interested parties in imaging. And we had people from Aberdeen, Richard Ernst came over, and all the Nottingham people were present and at this meeting. And I gave a paper. I mean, we were all asked to give papers, you see, and I decided that I wouldn't talk about the stuff that was well known. I'd, you know, try this new idea on them, and I spent about a half an hour going through it, but it was a bit mathematical, I have to admit. And it really left the audience dumbfounded. I mean, they either didn't understand it or did, but had no comment. I mean, normally at question times, you know, people are saying, oh, and how about this, how about that? But there was nothing, not even from Richard Ernst. And I was very surprised. Yeah, I might as well have spoken to myself, really. And but that was the technique which used spin echoes and looked at a whole plane of material in one go. So I called it echo planar imaging, EPI, and that name has stuck. And of course, in those days, we hadn't actually produced an image. This was pure theory. But shortly after that, I put quite a lot of experimental effort in to try to produce an image by EPI. And that was it. It started a new, a very, very rapid technique. It was very hard, I have to say, for people to grasp.